The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Finally, after weeks of leaks, Budget 2023 will be launched this afternoon. Can we expect anything new to be announced other than what we know already? Who will be the winners? If there are to be any losers, who might they be? Well, I'm joined in studio by Sean Defoe, political correspondent for News Talk, on the line by Gina Murphy, owner of Hugo's Restaurant in Dublin, who often acts as a sort of a weather vane on News Talk for the restaurant industry in the capital. A good morning to you both. But first, our reporter Elaine Smith asked people in Cork what they would like to see from the budget.
I would like to see third level grants for private colleges with immediate effect to alleviate some of the pressure on the third level students who don't have access to SUSE.
How do you feel about the introduction of free primary school books?
We have an 11-year-old and it cost us between bits of uniforms and school books and voluntary payments, which are viewed as voluntary but they're not really, something like €800 just in 1 year alone. Whatever they can do to reduce it, great. Come back to the issue on the class sizes. I mean, teachers do a fantastic job and have done over COVID, but I think whatever they can do to ease the pressure, then great.
Well, I suppose primarily I'd be looking at it from the perspective of where I am at this point in my life, which is from an old age pensioner point. I'd like a significant increase in the pension rates. I'd like proper home care and health care. Well, they definitely have to be addressed. Help with energy costs, VAT reductions, I suppose, in petrol charges and energy costs.
I suppose the reduced cost of education would be good for all the students and also the petrol as well. Very handy considering the prices are currently a bit crazy. With the cost of living going up, obviously, like, electricity prices are going crazy at the moment, so any relief there would be amazing for all households.
Spend a bit more money in spreading out to young people with families that badly need help
work
as well.
Tests.
Not work that's out working, you know, yeah. That's what I feel about it.
I'd be happy if the younger people that are struggling now at the moment were making it, because
it
they are struggling.
It makes us sad to see the young people, you know, struggling so much and trying to work and trying to better their life and can't even afford a roof over their head.
The petrol, the energy credit, the social welfare and pension increases. How do you feel about that?
I feel it's a drop in the ocean. I prefer a freeze on energy prices for, again, to benefit everybody. I feel throwing money at it is just a stopgap.
Yeah, we second that, I think each government, one after the other, let you down, so I'll wait and see.
I think they should do more for farming anyway, because I am a farmer. Definitely reduce the price of oil and fertiliser. Oh yeah, definitely with the petrol one to be coming down. There's no doubt about that.
How do you feel about the €12 increase with the pension?
Oh, I said everything is welcome, but I'd say it should be more, really. Like. Yeah, I was hoping for €20, but I don't think that probably won't happen, I think.
It'll never be enough, Sean Defoe, no matter what it is. That's the lesson you learn from that vox pop.
And they know that as well. It's funny listening to the politicians in the last few weeks. Like, they're giving a budget package of more than €10 billion, this huge giveaway budget, and all of them know it's not going to be enough, particularly as the winter bites.
Now, analyse that €10 billion, because, you know, we're told 6.7 is the actual budget. So where does the extra cash come and go?
Yeah, so it's actually going to be slightly more than 6.7 billion. It's probably going to be close to 6.8 or 6.85. They sort of found another 100 million for that recurrent spending. So that's stuff that is baked in this year, but also every year going forward. So you have to pay it again and again. Then €3 billion in once-off cost of living measures. And the money for that is probably going to come out of either the government surplus or the corporation tax receipts, which of course are one-off in their nature. And then there's going to be a further €1 billion contingency fund, which is coming from the surplus that they're putting aside in case all of this isn't enough and they need to go back and do something extra for cost of living or fuel measures. In December or so.
They're kind of boxing clever in the sense that they're giving help out for this particular winter that is one-off help and for students, one-off help, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But it contrasts with what they've done in Britain, you know, where they're baking in debt again and again, year in, year out.
Smaller state and lower taxes. It's kind of mad what they're doing in Britain. Whereas this way, and for speaking to ministers who were in negotiations with Michael McGrath, every item he was very keen to make as much once-off as possible. We are not coming back to this every year if he's finance minister or whoever is next time. But it does set a sort of an interesting precedent as well, which is what some of the people I was speaking to in government are worried about, that, right, you did a once-off intervention on, say, the students or the energy credit. Kind of hard to unwind those, though. For example, if you take the higher education stuff and you say once-off 1,000 reduction in fees, when it comes around to next year's budget, it's going to be very hard to say,
it's committed,
we're raising
though,
it back
500,
up.
Isn't that it?
It's committed 500, and if you are a family earning less than 62,000, 1,500 is going to be the cap. So that is a 1,500 euro reduction. So that is a fairly significant win for Simon Harris. But when it comes to next year and you only have a 500 euro reduction, there will obviously be calls to go back to the 1,000 again.
Now, we heard much of the budget in the last few days. Overnight, what are the latest revelations?
I suppose maybe we'll start with social welfare. That was the last department to finish up last night. It didn't get agreed until about 7:30. And Heather Humphreys and Michael McGrath really at loggerheads over the amount that the core social welfare rates were going to go up. From what I understand, the negotiations started with public expenditure looking for €7.50 a week, and with social protection at €15. They've landed on 12 in the end. So that's the likes of your job seekers allowance, of the state pension. So job seekers is going to go up to €220 a week, the state pension to €265. And then there's a whole load of one-off payments in the social welfare budget. It's split, it's about €2 billion and split 50-50 across them. So the recurring ones is going to be those core social welfare rates that I mentioned, the expansion of the fuel allowance. So it's going to, the rate of fuel allowance is not going to change, but it's going to be expanded. So about 60 to 80,000 more homes are taken into the net. So a lot more people will be getting the fuel allowance. And then there are all these one-off payments. So you're going to get a €500 payment for carers, €500 for people with a disability. That's anyone who's currently getting any sort of disability payment from the state will qualify for that. And those on the working family payment. Then you've got a €400 one-off payment for those on the fuel allowance, a €200 one-off payment for those on the living alone. And the Christmas bonus, which we know every year, obviously it's a double payment on those core social welfare rates. That's being retained, but being added to with what's being described as a Halloween bonus. So there's going to be two double payments, one at the end of October and one in December. Okay.
And they're hoping that the war in Ukraine will be over, that everything will be somewhat settled by budget 24.
Yeah, that's the fingers crossed. Now, you know, how long is a piece of string? And with the escalation that Putin sort of announced last week, it's very, very hard to know that. But they're hoping that these one-off measures will be just for this winter. And just in terms of the scale path that they're getting to, and very much trying to target, I suppose, those who are maybe older, who are living in colder houses, who are living alone. If you are someone who is on the state pension, is on the living alone allowances, and is on the fuel allowance, all these changes will mean €1,100 in payments from the state this side of Christmas.
Now, in terms of health, we know that there's not that much more money for health. We're talking about GP cards for more people, and we're talking about contraception for older women rather than simply the younger women. We're talking about IVF treatments being played for.
Yeah, so the health budget is an interesting one. Stephen Donnelly got an extra €1.15 billion, which sounds like a lot on paper, but a huge amount of that is just going on standing still. The Department of Health budget, to just do what they did last year, we don't have an exact figure, but I was told it's north of €600 million. So already more than that, more than half of what he got is wiped out straight away. And I think they've kind of boxed clever in what they've gone for. They've gone to measures that will be sort of popular. So extending the free contraception scheme up to and including women to the age of 30. That'll happen in the latter half of next year. Moving towards publicly funded IVF in Ireland for the first time is a really significant move again towards the back half of next year. And then abolishing hospital fees is another one for adults. Yeah. It's already done for children. This one is really interesting. The 430 extra free GP visit cards for people. It will mean more than half the population will have access to either a GP visit card or a full medical card. Sounds great on paper.
430,000 extra. So where are all the GPs going?
That's exactly the question that I don't know. There doesn't seem to be money, or certainly not significant money, for recruiting extra GPs. We obviously know there's a big crisis.
Or are they just saying, look, we know you're paying privately at the moment. You don't go to the doctor anymore often if you can. I'd be one of those. Avoid it if possible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be queuing up. If I got one of those cards, I'm not going to be queuing up to use the service.
Yeah, so maybe there's an element of that in that, you know, they don't think it will actually have all that input on demand. But if things are free, you tend to go more. So I think, look, that's going to be the good question, is can the system handle that?
More guards?
More guards. 1,000 extra Gardaí recruited to Temple Moor, 400 new Garda staff to free up other Gardaí for frontline duties.
And hospitality.
Yes.
They're losers in this.
They are. This is one of the few, I suppose, tax increases that's going to be announced in this budget, and the hospitality VAT rate that has been at 9% is going to be returned to 13.5% next February. Pascal Donoghue, who sort of signalled as much when he was on with you recently enough, and a lot of it is down to what they see as price gouging by hotels. Very little sympathy among the cabinet or politicians
in general.
So
the restaurants who didn't price gouge,
they're the ones left
out.
They're
going to be suffering because of the actions of a few hoteliers.
And a few hoteliers is the right phrase, because I think a lot of hoteliers, particularly outside of Dublin and outside of the big cities, didn't put up their prices massively. Probably a little bit, which we can, you know, we can all expect in the times that we live in. But they are the ones that are going to suffer now, because as of February 2023, it's going to go back to 13.5% tax.
Gina Murphy, the owner of Hugo's restaurant in Dublin on Merrion Row, as I said, she often acts as a weather vane for us on News Talk about the state of the hospitality industry. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
So, the situation for the restaurant business, energy costs a huge part of what you do. The lights are always on. The kitchens are always hot. So how have you been affected by the crisis?
Frighteningly so, I'm afraid. I'll just give you a couple of quick stats on it. My average energy bills in the restaurant used to be about 4,800. That was gas and electricity every 2 months. My last bill that I received in the beginning of September, which was for the previous 2 months, just shy of 8 weeks, was just short of 12,000.
Okay, so it almost tripled in price. Now, will you be one of the beneficiaries of the payments that are going to be made to businesses to help with energy costs?
That I don't know. I don't know the minutiae of the detail, and I suppose the devil is in the detail. But I mean, it has to be about what you're comparing it to. We were all quite hobbled last year with how we were trading, so we wouldn't have been using our energy to the same way that we used it in 2019. So even if you take that bill, that last bill, my last electricity bill was 9,300, my gas was 2,400. That's just an unbearable increase. I mean, it's an increase of 3,500 a month on my energy bills. I mean, we don't have that margin of error in the restaurant trade to cover that. I mean, how many bowls of soup do you have to sell to make up 3,500 in 1 month? So, and also, those figures are based on me still not trading 7 days a week. And it was summertime. We didn't even have the heat on.
Yeah. So, and of course, the problem with trying to trade 7 days a week, if there's a demand, which there would be for Hugo's restaurant, is trying to staff 7 days a week.
Yeah. We're finding it terribly difficult to get people back into the industry. I'm fortunate. My kitchen is covered at the moment. I have a lovely crew down there. But my floor, I'm still wanting on the floor and on management level as well.
Now, you've tried everything to keep your energy bills down. I mean, you're a user of LED lighting and so on. But now, you don't switch your fridges off that contain food, but your drinks fridges.
Yes, I have them on timers, so they knock off when we finish service at nighttime and come back on in the morning. I fitted the entire restaurant with LED lights. We're extremely conscious about, gas running in the kitchen. I mean, we used to be more than any other kitchen. You know, you'd turn on the gas and you'd just leave it on and you'd throw on your pots as you were going. You know, now every single gas ring is turned off when it's not in use. And the entire staff are very conscious about everything. I mean, we've had staff meetings about it to bring it to everybody's awareness. So, I mean, I don't know what else we can do. I mean, like I say, that electricity bill of just shy of 9,500 for 2 months was without the heat being on in the building. Yeah. That was a summertime bill. So, you know, small businesses can't carry these costs. So they'd have to be pushed on.
Yeah. So you'll be very interested in the detail of the energy subsidy scheme for business when the budget speech happens this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. But it has to be fair and reasonable and not based on times when we were trading outdoors and trading, you know, with one hand tied behind our backs. It has to be
Sean wants to come in here, Sean.
Yeah, that's one of the really interesting questions, actually. And just based on my understanding, you should qualify for the payment, which would be 40%. So I think you said €3,000 increase. So the way it's going to work in the system is that the money will be on the increase in your energy bill. So you'd have to submit, say, your July 2021 bill, and whatever the increase is, the government would pay you 40% up to a max of 10 grand. But one of the things they were discussing in the Department of Finance is exactly what Gina's talking about there. This time last year, there were COVID restrictions in place. Some places were shut down and not operating at all, so they don't have those big bills. Some places were all outdoors, so those bills aren't as much. And then there are other places that have completely changed the structure of their business, where they might have built a big, a big outside area in the car park that wasn't using a huge amount of electricity. And so the big increase is slightly different. So there is a few nuances to it still to be worked out.
And Gina, on accommodation, the business of trying to get highly qualified staff, you know, chefs and so on, in the past, they sometimes came from outside of Dublin, sometimes from outside of the jurisdiction, but there wasn't that crisis in accommodation.
Yeah, it really is a huge problem for our industry now. I mean, we need people to be able to live in the city centre because of the hours that we work, and, you know, because we work nights and whatever, but it really is. Like, I had two members of my staff that were couch surfing for 12 weeks. It was scandalous before I could find a proper accommodation for them. And recently I've had a management position available, and the last candidate that I offered the job to had to turn me down because they could not find accommodation in Dublin.
Yeah. Now,
and that was a senior management position.
Yeah, you would hope that they would maintain the 9% for restaurants, but the complication would be that hotels have restaurants within them and so on. So it's unlikely they will discriminate in favour of restaurants against hotels. And then, as Sean mentioned, some hotels were the price gougers very publicly, very noticeably, and then others did business as usual and, you know, kept the rates as they always had been. So not much hope, I would think, that you'd maintain the 9%.
Well, it's very easy to make a difference here between food and other products. And I think if you really are intent on supporting Irish businesses, that the VAT would be left at 9% on food. I mean, we're supporting Irish producers, you know, our milk, our cream, our dairy produce, you know, all. I know in Hugo's, the only foreign produce that we take in, bar our wines, would be our cured meats that are from Parma or, you know, our Parmesan cheese, something like that, that cannot be made in Ireland. But every other product on our menu is Irish. So, you look at any kind of a VAT, it is a consumer tax. We are only the collectors of tax on behalf of the government. So if the government put it up, it's only to get money back into the government. It's not for the individual business. We really are just the tax collectors. Yeah. You know, if they're really serious about supporting Irish businesses, they will keep the VAT rate at 9% for food anyway, because the indigenous business, you know, farmers, fishermen, you know, cheesemakers, blessed are the cheesemakers. Every one of these people supports local communities. And that's what we're about. And if we really want to keep this economy, you know, on a steady keel, you've got to support Irish businesses, because a rising tide lifts all boats.
All right, Gina.
So if we can sustain it, then we pass it down through the communities.
Gina Murphy, owner of Hugo's Restaurant on Merrion Row in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us. Finally, briefly, Sean, winners and losers in political terms around the cabinet table and beyond?
Yeah, particularly interesting budget, because obviously there's a reshuffle coming in a couple of months, so they're all trying to get their bits in. I think losers-wise, you'd have to say Catherine Martin, obviously, because of that VAT rate you were just talking about. Also, just doesn't seem to be a huge amount in there for the sort of media tourism sport sector. Winners, I would say Simon Harris is a big winner in this. He's scored an awful lot of money for higher education and for reducing fees. Heather Humphreys as well got a huge amount in the budget after some really, really tricky negotiations. So they would probably be, I think, the two biggest winners. Stephen Donnelly is an interesting one where he didn't really get the money that he wanted to, but is sort of boxed clever with it. But I think Harris and Humphreys taking the cake here.
Sean Defoe, Newstalk's political correspondent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.